You're listening to the Embrace Running Podcast. I'm Mark.
I'm Elena, and this is episode number 101 for December 23rd, 2013.
Welcome to the podcast where we talk all about running and everything related to it. We are on episode 101.
Yeah.
Back that, after 100.
That was kind of long to say, 101.
Yeah, it's a little different, huh?
Yeah.
So we had a little bit of a different episode last week, so we're kind of slightly back into a normal routine with this episode, although I think it's going to be kind of a quick one. We're here right before the Christmas holiday.
Yeah. Well, yeah. What were you calling today?
Today's kind of Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
Because tomorrow's Christmas Eve, right? So today's the eve of Christmas Eve, right?
There you go.
Okay. If that makes any sense. So let's kind of start like we usually do with our weekend training, which will actually be for 2 weeks.
Right.
Except for the fact we didn't really do much the first week.
Yeah.
But I'll let you go ahead and talk about that.
Okay. I pretty much did nothing the first week. So this was the week after CIM.
Immediately post-marathon.
Right. I did absolutely nothing in terms of working out. Like zero. So that was that first week.
Nailed it. Good job.
Yeah. I was right on target. So, but it was mainly to try to let my ankle foot issue heal up, I guess. You were trying to convince me to take a week off. And since it wasn't getting better as quickly as I wanted to, I committed to a week off.
I think my mission all week was to keep you from running.
Which, yeah, I didn't run. So, but I actually didn't do anything else either.
I don't think I talked you into that.
So, no, I know, but hey, if you got to like go all out, right? So just like do nothing.
Commitment.
Exactly. But the week after that, so this last week, I actually did get back to running, but definitely dialed it back. I did 3 days of running total, which normally I do like 5 to 6 days of running, with a total mileage of 10 miles total. That was all I ran. So I did, I think, two and a half milers, and then what was it? Oh, the 5 miler. Okay, two and a half, and then 5 miler. So I felt pretty good. I mean, my foot ankle has been okay. I've been, you know, icing and doing some stretches that I actually got from a fellow listener, Meg. Thank you for sending me all the information because we actually both think that I'm dealing. Or we both think that I'm dealing with this thing, peroneal tendonitis. So on my left foot ankle. So actually, the stretches that she sent to me are really helping, and I've been icing and following all the instructions, so I'm feeling better. I'm still, you know, planning to kind of ease back into it slowly, so hopefully I don't aggravate it and then yet, you know, have to take even more time off. But the other thing I've been doing actually is I did more cross training this last week because I figure I need to do something to keep my fitness level up and just to keep working out. So I actually got back on the spinner finally after I don't know how long. So I did 3 days of that. I actually did 4 days of weight training and actually swam one day. So I actually did a little bit of pool running too, which is kind of weird. So, but just, it was on a day that I didn't run, and I just kind of wanted to see how it felt. So, yeah, it was interesting. So it was, I guess I had more time to try other things, you know, since I wasn't running. It's like, okay, well, let's do some cross training. So,
I think like we talked about before, this is a really good time for you to, I mean, obviously you've been dealing with the pain in the foot, but it's a really good time kind of post-CIM after the marathon. This is December. You got the holidays. It's a really good time to take some time off.
Right.
Or at least really, truly dial it back.
Yeah.
Which you normally don't do.
Right.
Kind of all year long. So I always say, you know, December's a good time because, you know, you're busy. You got a lot of stuff going on. You might miss some workouts just because of the holidays anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, come January 1st, you can kind of start planning for 2014. And I think actually January's a good time. You know, if December's a good month to think about cutting back and kind of calling it a little bit maybe of an off season. I think January is a good time to think about maybe strength training, maybe less time outdoors running because it's January, depending where you're at, weather might be more of a problem, a good time to kind of stay indoors, maybe do some strength training, maybe some core workout.
Right.
And then kind of really start kicking into gear in February.
Yeah. The only problem with that is if you have a 50K at the beginning of March to train for.
That's true. It's at the beginning.
Yeah. It's like the second weekend.
Okay. So you'll have to kick it in gear a little bit sooner.
Right.
Than
so,
I do. But
yeah. So, I mean, I can't wait until February to really start training for it.
One
but
month,
I, yeah. Enough. I mean, so, I mean, obviously I'll start training before then, but I also just need to get to the starting line without an injury.
Right.
You know, or if it means not getting to the starting line, you know, to save myself from a long-term injury, then I'd rather do that. So we'll just kind of see how it goes.
Cool.
So I think that was my week, but I'm doing a lot more cross training. So I'm feeling stronger, even though it's only been 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll see if I can keep that up. So how was your week? Or weeks, I guess.
Well, I did the same thing. I matched you 100% on the week post-TIM. I did nothing that week.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, literally nothing. And I think that's always going to be my, well, not nothing, but for sure no running post-marathon for a week. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be my permanent plan.
But you'd like to do something else? Or...
Yeah, I should always be cross-training, so there's no reason I couldn't have done a strength workout, you know, 5 days post-marathon. Except for the fact that you're just kind of in that post-marathon, you know, oh, I'm just going to take some time off.
Right, and, I'm just going to do nothing today. I'm going to do nothing again today.
That marathon's like you're out to not do anything. So... Yeah, so a week off after, and then this past week, got 2 midweek runs in.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the same. We actually ran together midweek, both times, right?
Yeah, both times.
So I'll say that you slowed me down, although that's not the truth. Actually, you ran my pace still, even with your foot. But that was actually probably a good thing for you, running with me.
I figured that'd be a good idea, kind of do that intentionally, just to slow down.
Mm-hmm.
And then even the 5-miler that I did on my own definitely was slower. Than my normal running pace, so just kind of ease back in.
Yeah, so I did the 2 midweek runs, and then actually, embarrassed to say, I didn't run this weekend. It was just, I was super, super busy on Saturday, which is just an excuse, because I guess I really could have found 30, 40 minutes to go run a couple miles, but I didn't, and then Sunday I was just tired and lazy, and I didn't run over the weekend. So it's kind of weird, because I always struggle with the midweek stuff.
Because this week was kind of opposite?
Yeah, it was the opposite. Yeah, midweek was no problem, and then the weekend was just kind of crazy, and that's... You know, partially leading up to the holidays and all that stuff. But I did kind of do one short little strength workout. I just, actually, there's an app for iPad, and now it's on iPhone called FitStar, which I just did one little workout, and I'm going to try to do that as my cross training here the next 6 weeks or so. So I'm going to give FitStar a chance and see how I like the app, but I really haven't used it enough to say whether I like it or don't like it or whether it's worth it, because it's still a little confusing when you just... kind of start out.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll report back on that hopefully in a week when I've actually done some more workouts. I'll say that with huge confidence, I guess. And
if not, you can report back the following week, I guess.
Yeah. I should just not have mentioned it then. You know, I'm going to put myself on the spot, but maybe I did that intentionally, so I have a reason to.
There you go.
Yeah, so I guess that was all that was going on.
Okay.
In terms of actually running.
Yeah.
Now, in terms of registration, we did have our opportunities to kind of bust out the credit card, sign up for some races. So what should I mention first? You were actually already running a half marathon on New Year's Day.
Correct.
So you're doing Brazen New Year's.
Yeah.
The trail half marathon.
Right.
You're going to have to see how your foot leads into that.
Yeah. I'm excited. I hope that my foot holds up because I'm excited to get back out there on the trail.
Yeah. So I didn't want to be left behind, so I went ahead and signed up for the 5K. So we'll be both out there starting off the year with a race.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a really good way to start off the year with just getting a race in. So
mm-hmm.
I just did the 5K because I'm fine with that. No, I don't need to bite off any more than that at this point. And then you're actually just signed up to volunteer on which day?
It's
New Year's Eve, right?
Well, it's not on New Year's Eve.
Right. It's on the weekend.
Right. It's the 28th. So it's this coming Saturday. But it's called, you know, the New Year's Eve, almost New Year's Eve race.
So you'll be out there probably in aid station?
I think so.
Maybe.
Very good chance I'll be there at aid station. I don't know which aid station. This is the Brazen New Year's Eve race. So It'll be on the 28th. I'll be at an aid station somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I guess the most important thing we signed up for was actually signed up for a marathon for 2014.
Mm-hmm.
I guess our second marathon.
So I was just about to say that.
On the calendar. So We actually signed up to do Route 66, which is in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be traveling out for that one.
Yeah, that's in November?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think, interesting enough, I think the price was only $60 for the first 200 people that signed up.
Right.
And I guess we were still in the first 200 people because mm-hmm. we got $60 reg. So
yep.
That was kind of so cheap that it was worth just registering and pretty sure we're going to do it. But, you know, I wouldn't say 100%, but that's the plan. And that's kind of a Route 66 is a big race for marathon maniacs.
Right.
So you'll be out there with a lot of your crazy people.
Yep.
And also does the, they call it the center of the universe, right?
Yeah. I'm excited about that.
They have an extra.
They have like a little detour.
In the middle of the marathon.
Yeah.
It's like 0.3.
0.3.
And if you do that, you get a little medallion or a coin.
Something like that.
Something like that. So kind of a cool thing. So we decided to do that. It was kind of a good time. November didn't preclude us from doing even a different fall marathon before that.
Mm-hmm.
And also, although I said I wasn't going to do CIM, if I choose to get my marathon maniac at the end of next year, assuming I feel healthy and great.
I like how 2 weeks post CIM, you're like, I know I said I wasn't going to do it, but.
I'm still not planning on doing it.
Yeah.
But if for some reason, we end up registering maybe for a different marathon in, let's say, October,
mm-hmm.
which is a very busy month for marathons.
Right.
If I end up doing one in October and then come November do Route 66, then CIM in December would be a real easy one to get my marathon maniac.
There you go.
I will just throw that as a possibility. But yeah, after Big Sur, that's kind of the first major thing we've registered for 2014, although we will be at R&R SF. But that's local to us, so it's not really.
And that's before Big Sur.
True.
Yeah.
All right. So that's that. Before we move on, I actually do want to mention that, I guess for the first time ever, we put up on our website a listener survey. So it's a, I think it's like 14 questions.
Mm-hmm.
We're not asking for any personal information about you. We're not asking your name, your email address, anything like that. We're just asking for a little bit information about you as a runner and kind of get your feeling on certain elements of the podcast just to get some of your feedback.
Right.
So it's completely anonymous. Probably it'll take you 2 or 3 minutes. If you have time and you're interested, head over to embracerunning.com and just click on, I think it's over on the right side, big old button, says listener survey.
Right.
Click on that.
With a nice big check mark next to it.
Yeah.
Can't miss it.
Yeah. So lots of questions, and then that'll kind of help us figuring out where we want to take the podcast over the next 100 episodes.
Right. Yeah. Kind of see what you guys, yeah, it'll just kind of help us tailor and point us in the right direction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can always email us at any time with suggestions or comments, and people do that, but if you've never done that, and you kind of want to share your opinion with us, this is a good way to do it anonymously and very easily.
Yeah.
And like I said, there's no information. A couple questions, like just how many races you did in 2013 and just kind of where you're from. And then, like I said, just some information on what parts of the podcast you like and what you'd maybe like to see going forward. So
mm-hmm.
if you have a few minutes to check it out and help us out with that, we'd appreciate it.
Right.
All right. Let's jump into this. Normally the part of the podcast where I say this week was whatever races that happened across the country, but there's really... it's possible we missed something, but there was really no major races to talk about. And that's just because this is the week before Christmas. So there's not much big going on.
No, I didn't really come across much of anything. It was just a lot of like local holiday runs or mm-hmm. Santa runs or whatever you want to call them. You know, and I think leading up to like next week, it's going to be like resolution runs, you know. So that's, I didn't really hear about any big races.
Yeah.
So.
So moving on from there,
yeah.
But there's nothing. We wanted to mention Way Too Cool that you had talked about because obviously you're in. We had talked about that was a lottery.
Right.
And I guess what we ended up finding out was that everybody who entered the lottery basically got in.
Yeah.
Because I think they're expanding from 2 waves to 3.
Right. And I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, it's good that people that want to do it are going to do mm-hmm. it, but I'm kind of worried about the field size being too big out on the trail. And I feel less special now.
You said that. I found that funny. But.
Yeah.
Yeah. As long as the third wave is spaced out well enough, I don't think it'll be too much of an issue.
Because this year they had 2 waves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a pretty, I can't remember what the gap is between them.
But. I didn't know what it was. I don't know what the gap was. So you were there.
Yeah. And I don't want to say because I'm not sure. So.
Okay.
But I think it was plenty enough to kind of space things out.
But that first loop, which is like an 8-mile loop,
mm-hmm.
I mean, felt a little busy.
Did it?
Yeah. But I mean, I guess if they keep that first wave, if I'm in that wave, the same size, it'll be okay. Yeah, it will just be like that third wave, maybe. Yeah. Okay.
And then actually on the website, it actually said registration will close on March 5th. But if you click on it, I think it actually says sold out.
So yeah, I'm totally confused about it.
Yeah. So I don't know how many people are doing the race.
Like, is it already capped at what it is?
Yeah.
Or are they allowing more people in? I don't know.
Another ultra, Lake Sonoma 50, actually sold out in 37 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So seems like we talk
That's
about
fast.
Sellouts all the time with races. But so no surprise there.
Nope.
Wanted to mention the Desert Solstice, which is a track race.
Mm-hmm. It's an invitational track meet.
Yeah, and it's basically either, it's all about basically running 100 miles or basically running for 24 hours
mm-hmm.
and on a track. So we actually got some new world records
right.
set this past year. This was like a week ago.
Yeah. I know. You...
What's this year, though?
I know, but you made it seem like over the whole course of the year. Yeah, this was on December 14th and 15th,
okay,
so it wasn't that long ago. It was just a couple of weeks ago. So yeah, some new record sets. So one of them was Zach Bitter. He broke the U.S. 100-mile open track record after he ran 100 miles in 11:47:21, which is crazy fast because that's a 7:04 per mile pace. That's...
Yeah, I can't even do that for like a 5K.
Yeah. Yeah, that's... Yeah, so... Congrats to him. And then he also followed it up with a 12-hour world record with 101.66 miles.
Because that was 13 minutes later.
Right, exactly. So even though it's really like 24-hour or 100 miles, they do tend to set, or they can set 12-hour
records also.
Too. So, and then other notable mention is Pam Smith, who was this year's female winner for Western States. So mentioning her name again, she actually set the female U.S. and world 100-mile track record in 14:11:26. So congrats to both of them. I can't imagine, well, okay, I can't imagine running 100 miles. I can't imagine running for 24 hours. I can't imagine doing either of those around a track.
Yeah, that's very challenging. I think it takes a lot of mental dedication.
Yeah.
I think the most, I'm trying to think, what's the most I've ever run on a track?
Although you have very easy access to like aid station. True. And I mean, it's like could, right there.
You know, if you have a friend there cheering
you
on.
At all times, right?
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say. If you have somebody cheering you on, you
yeah,
can
that's
just
actually a good one
watch
to
them
have
the
family come
entire
to.
Time.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, that's, you know, hey, I'll crew for you on the track. Because I can just bring my lawn chair and a cooler and I just sit down and I'll, you know, just throw you whatever you need as you
right,
run by.
Exactly.
Me. But, yeah, I think the longest I've ever run on a track was maybe 4 miles.
That's what I was going to say, maybe that I've done. It could be even less, but the most 4 miles.
And that's a little bit challenging mentally.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely, when I used to, actually I haven't done that in years, but because I used to many years ago go to a track to run quite a bit, but I needed my, used to have my old Timex watch with the lap timer. Because
oh,
that's
yeah,
the only
yeah.
way you can keep track of laps mm-hmm. because, you know, after you get past 4 or 5, it's, you don't know whether you're on 6, 7. Like, was that 7? Am I
right.
on 7? I'm
Am I
confused.
Just starting 7?
Yeah.
Am I starting 8?
So without the watch, I could never figure it out. But doing that kind of mileage on a track is absolutely insane. So
I wouldn't mind going back to a track, though. I haven't run on a track in a long time. Just to see if I'd still get just as bored.
No, I've actually really wanted to go back onto a track and run. It's just sometimes it's hard to find a track. Like, I know
that will let you?
Yeah. I mean, so many, now these days, it seems like, at least in our area, so many of the schools, you know, you're not, they're not open to the public where you can just go out there and run on the track.
Mm-hmm.
It's like locked up or closed up and you can't get to them or you're not allowed out there. So it's kind of hard to find a track to go run at.
Yeah.
And actually a good track. There
right.
are some beat because... up tracks that I've seen that I don't necessarily, you know, basically turns into trail running at some point. But yeah, I'd like to get out there.
We just might have to hop the fence somewhere and,
and
which I haven't done in a long time either. So
that's true. Might not be able to. Also want to mention from Desert Solstice, the 24-hour results, the number one guy on there was Oliver LeBlond, who did 152 miles in 23 hours and 57 minutes. So he ran the entire 24 hours and banged out some crazy mileage. Number two was 144 miles. And then Connie Gardner was the first female for the 24 hour, and she did 110 miles.
Wow. But she only ran like, she ran less than 20 hours, but yeah.
Oh yeah, that's right. She actually clocked out, I guess, here at 1941.
Right. She's like, I'm done.
That's what I would have done too. All right. Other news. What do we want to mention? Carrie Goucher, well-known female marathon runner, mm-hmm. kind of an elite athlete here in the United States. She actually announced just recently on her blog that she's moving back to Colorado and kind of going back to her old coaches.
Right.
So kind of leaving, I guess Shalane will no longer be her buddy in training.
In training.
But it'll
be. So she's been in Oregon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for a while she was under Alberto Salazar,
mm-hmm.
Training with him. And then it was Jerry Schumacher, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But she's going back to Colorado with kind of where she, I don't want to say got her start, but where she had her early Olympic success. And I think she's 35 years old now, right?
I don't know.
So yeah, she is.
Yeah, okay.
So this will be a change for her going back to Colorado and maybe, I don't want to say her last chance, but this is probably her last push to kind of reach some of her goals.
And I think she kind of even admits to that this is, she's going back to, and this is where she wants to sort of end her elite career.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those aren't the exact words that she said, but that's kind of what the gist that I got when she was saying that.
Yeah, I was trying to find out. She mentioned she had a couple of specific goals kind of going forward. I know one of them was to podium at a major marathon. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good luck to her on that one. Well, it was tough with her training with Shalane. It's like mm-hmm. when you train together, sometimes I wonder, you know, if you're trying to, you know, if you're training together and you're trying to beat each other all the time. Let's just say if she's finishing second in all those training runs and kind of, then you kind of might have to try something else just
right.
to beat, you know,
but,
just
but,
to beat
but
Shalane.
Is she? We don't know. We're
don't
not
know.
There. Yeah.
Other news. Let's talk some R&R news really quickly. Their R&R USA race, which is actually, you just call it R&R Washington, D.C.
Right, pretty much.
Yeah. They announced some changes for their 2014 race, which you said was in March?
Yes, March 15th.
And they just kind of listed some stuff that they're going to try to improve. I think they said they're going to improve gear check.
Mm-hmm.
So
And these are all basically based on what other people, or what people that have participated in the race, I think more notably this year, wanted to see changed.
Yeah, they said, we listened, we learned.
Yeah.
So the 2014 improvements, improve gear check is what they're planning.
Mm-hmm.
The finish venue, I think they say they're going to have twice the amount of space.
Right.
So it's now going to be located in lots 6 and 7 at RFK Stadium. I know not enough about that to comment at all.
Nope.
Water station staffing.
I heard that being an issue with
the last race.
Yeah. But so, I think a lot of, they were speculating that a lot of that had to do with the weather. I think it was pretty bad weather. I don't know if it was raining or cold or both.
Mm-hmm.
But they're working hard to make sure that they recruit more volunteers, and I think even hire some local staff to make sure that they have enough staffing at the water stations.
Yeah, I guess as runners, we should just, if you're doing a half or a big full marathon on a day that the weather's not optimal or the weather's going to be really bad, I guess we should just expect some issues at water station, expect it to be short of volunteers.
Right.
I don't know if that's fair to say, or we should still expect the race to find the people to have them there.
But there's no way you can make them be there.
Right.
If they're volunteers.
Well, I guess the idea is just, you just have so many volunteers that, you know, if half of them don't show up, you still have plenty of volunteers. But
right.
I think that's really tough to do.
Yeah.
At certain races. Mm-hmm. So that's why I say, I don't know if it's really fair to expect them to be, you know, fully manned, mm-hmm. or I think just for ourselves to be prepared, maybe we should just expect, you know, well, if it's pouring rain or it's cold or it's snowing, just kind of expect to have some aid station issues.
Right.
So.
Or maybe bring your own water.
They mentioned their start line, which it didn't even say anything about changes, right? I just know it's down there kind of by the Washington Monument,
mm-hmm.
down by the National Mall and stuff. So I'm not sure exactly what the change is from the previous year.
Right.
And I guess they're gonna, the local metro there, so their subway system is going to actually start at 5 a.m. on race day,
mm-hmm.
to kind of make it another option and make it a lot easier for people to get to the start line. So if that's race you're thinking about doing, hopefully it goes a little bit better than this past year.
Right.
So always good to see improvement in the right direction.
Yeah.
What else do we want to mention? A marathon museum. So there's been lots of talks about having a marathon museum and kind of a marathon hall of fame.
Right.
And the location for this is actually in Hopkinton, which is actually where the Boston Marathon has their start line.
Mm-hmm.
That's their start area. So I think what happened this past week was basically the, I don't know if they're, it's like the, it says the Board of Selectmen. I don't know. That's new to me, but I'm guessing the City Board of Supervisors kind of thing.
Yeah.
I guess kind of gave the okay to move forward. And I think they have about 16 acres of private land, and it's going to be funded by private donations. So it's not like the city's having to pick up the tab for that or anything, but I guess at least the city's behind it and thinks it's a good idea. Maybe we'll bring some people to town outside of Boston Marathon weekend.
Yeah. And I guess the next step is just for them to present more detailed plans to the planning board.
And then over the actually, next year. They'll need about $15 to $20 million to make it happen.
Oh, that's not much.
Nah, dropping the bucket. Actually, you know, you can get some big running sponsors.
True.
You know, that's who they should be knocking on the door. But that would actually be really cool to have that kind of like, if they really do it right and have a huge museum, if you're there for Boston to run the marathon, that'll give you something to do on your trip.
Right. Although if they did sponsors, like from big running companies.
Well, I don't think sponsors. They should just get them to donate.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm like, I really wouldn't want that like sort of bias with
right.
the museum. Or like if this particular company donated this amount of money, well, now they're going to have some exposure there. I kind of want that to be, I don't want that to be the case.
Yeah, I didn't really mean actually sponsored. Just,
okay.
You know, they should just hit them up for like a donation.
Right.
Like we'll throw your name on a plaque over by the restroom, like Asics or Brooks. Or something.
I wouldn't even do that.
No.
Nah. Okay.
Keep it 100%.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. I don't want it like anywhere other than thank you to so-and-so for this wonderful donation that made this possible. That's it.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe like in the initial opening ceremony, I don't know why we're getting into this, but into like the initial like opening of the museum, like the pamphlet or something, it lists like the sponsors and people, you know, like people who made very generous donations and like, that's it.
How about a bench outside?
No.
Brick? No.
No. I mean, that's my own thing. It's like, no, if it's going to be a museum, you know, if it's just going to be a running museum, it's not going to be the museum, you know, sponsored by so-and-so and so-and-so, you know, insert whatever brand you want in there, but
yeah. No, I think you're right. Keep the companies out of it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean,
take private donors.
You know, or we'll accept the money, but
just make it anonymous.
Yeah, there you go.
We'll just ignore the fact that
yeah,
the
that's
check
not
says,
gonna happen.
Says Asics or Brooks
right.
or
yeah,
whatever it is.
It'll all just right. be from the running community.
Just make it anonymous. All right. What else? Okay, note here on the rundown, I guess, because I keep forgetting to mention this for like the last several weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually had a conversation with a couple of people a few weeks back.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We were just talking about running in general. We were talking to these two ladies who were complete non-runners, and they knew we had been in Chicago for the Chicago Marathon. So we were just talking about Chicago and the race, and they were asking, you know, well, you know, how far is a marathon? And we were, you know, 26.2, and, you know, do a half, 13.1. And there was actually a new half marathon coming to their hometown.
Right.
And we were definitely encouraging them. There was going to be a 5K too. So we were encouraging them to do the 5K.
Yeah.
You know, and they were like, oh, we could totally walk that, or I can run some of that, you know, but complete non-runners. And then one of them just out of nowhere, kind of like a light bulb went off. Just
yeah.
Kind of,
like they almost saw the light bulb just go off.
Yeah. Just kind of on, busted whatever. Out laughing.
Yeah.
And I was like, huh? I'm like, what? And she's like, that's what they mean. And I was kind of like, huh? What are you talking about? She's like, all those stickers on the back of cars, like 26 point. I never knew what that meant.
Right, the 26.2, the 13.1.
And I just busted up laughing. And I guess, I don't know, do we take for granted the fact that people know what that means?
Yes.
I mean, we throw it on our...
I think so.
Or do we expect it to be like, you know, us runners know what that means? You know, it's... I'm just trying to remember...
I think it's both.
Back when, you know, at what point did I know what that sticker meant on the back of the car? And I can't think of ever a time where I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Even before I got into running.
Well, the funny thing is I don't remember ever seeing that sticker before I got into running.
You just
not
didn't
to say that
it.
I didn't see it, but maybe I just didn't pay attention to it.
Yeah. Is that one of those things like, you know, you're thinking about buying this new Ford truck and you never see any Ford trucks, but once you start thinking about it, you're like, oh, these things are everywhere, and you start to, you know, oh, there's the blue one and the red one. But yeah, I'm trying to think back to, you know, even when I was younger, I'm pretty sure I knew that a marathon was 26 miles.
I know. I didn't know that it was 26.2 miles before I was started running. For sure, I know that.
Interesting.
But the other thing, too, is I think those stickers are probably a lot more popular now than they were.
That's true.
10, 15, 20 years ago.
That's actually a really good point, because, yeah. I mean, we keep talking about how running is expanding and just growing,
right,
in big numbers, especially over the last 10 years. So that's actually a really good point. But I just thought the story was completely hilarious, just the way it kind of hit her. And, you know, I finally figured it out.
Oh,
so.
Yeah, like things just kind of came together, like right in that moment, like, oh, that's what that is. Yeah.
So we'll actually have to check back in with them to see if they're actually going to do maybe that 5K.
Yeah.
That 5K is in March or something like that.
I think so.
Yeah, so we'll have to get back and check with them on that. All right, what's next? We're going to talk a little bit about race shirts.
Mm-hmm.
Because you actually got a gift from somebody that you know.
Right.
You actually got a...
I'm actually going to give her a shout out.
Okay.
So Heidi, a friend of mine.
Okay.
So I actually got a race shirt quilt.
Mm-hmm.
Did I say that right? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So so she actually is somebody who quilts, which I know like nothing about. And I had all these old race shirts, you know, mainly the cotton ones. And she had been wanting to make some sort of t-shirt quilt. And so it just kind of came together that, you know, I gave her a bunch of old race shirts and she was willing to put this thing together. And I basically paid for the materials. You know, so it just worked out that she got the experience of doing it, but really it was a gift to me, you know, to kind of put all these shirts together, and it looks awesome.
Yeah. It's actually really cool.
It was really good.
I think sometimes I've seen companies that do this at expos before once
yeah,
in a while.
Yeah.
And then there always seems to be an ad for some company that does it in the back of Runner's World.
Oh, yeah. Where all the little ads are and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So I've definitely seen the quilts before, but seeing kind of one in person and one that you know the races is
right.
Really cool. Although it's weird. I don't know what you're going to do with it now, because it's almost one of those things where it looks so nice that you don't want to.
Like, don't want to use it?
Yeah. It's like, oh, just, you know, keep it.
But
nice
you totally could use it.
Yeah.
I mean, you could. You could put it on a bed or a sofa or on yourself, you know, if you want to keep warm. But yeah, it is one of those things. I keep looking at it and I'm like, that looks really nice. But then I also don't like, I don't want to make it dirty, you know, like that sort of thing. Like, so it looks really good though.
Yeah. And that's a very good idea to, you know, something to do with old race shirts. Like you said, the cotton ones that you may not run in, or, you know, a lot of times you get shirts that just end up not fitting.
Actually, yeah, there were a couple of those too. And she did use cotton and tech shirts. Mm-hmm. She actually made that work to use both. And yeah, some of them were, they just didn't fit right.
And she actually did a good job, because she didn't make it. I think you usually see these as like a straight up grid, like 4x4 shirts. And she actually did kind of mix it up. And so it's a little bit definitely more custom than what you could just buy. But there are websites that you can go and order these types of quilts from.
Right.
I'll actually put two in the show notes, although we have no experience with the companies. It's just two that I actually saved the papers from at Expos. And then just out of curiosity, like, I was kind of measuring like the one that she gave you. If you had actually gone to one of these companies and have them make it, I think the price would have been around $150 to $200.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely not the cheapest thing to do,
right,
with all the race shirts, but definitely pretty cool way to keep them, especially if you got like, you know, it's always a bummer you get a really cool looking shirt and for some reason it doesn't fit or.
Right, right. But you want to do something with it.
It's crooked. Like I have one running shirt that actually the logo's all crooked. So, and I didn't notice it till the first time I wore it. I was like looking in the mirror going,
this looks what? Odd.
I'm like, is my shirt crooked? Yeah. Nope. They just really put the logo like way off.
But, yeah.
Yeah. It's a really cool idea for old race shirts. And I think, like I said, it's hard to say whether it's worth it if you're going to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
If you know somebody, maybe if you know somebody who quilts.
Right.
It's a good way to hit them up. I never actually thought we'd talk about quilting
mm-hmm.
on the podcast.
Yeah. But. We're talking about all kinds of things. Museums. Quilting.
We go in crazy places now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So actually completely random and on the same subject this past 2 weeks, I actually saw two things that you could actually do also with old race shirts.
Two other things. Yeah.
So one suggestion that I found online was, and this wasn't specifically for running shirts.
Just shirts.
Obviously would work, but is taking an old canvas, like a painting canvas,
mm-hmm.
and you're basically just going to fold the shirt over the canvas. And staple it on the back, and you basically have a piece of wall art.
Right.
So you can just make your little square over the canvas frame there,
mm-hmm.
and just throw it on a wall. Just put a push pin in the wall, throw it on there, and there you kind of have your wall art that is your running shirt.
Right.
And the other one that I saw somebody using was embroidery hoops.
Kind of similar thought.
Similar concept. Yeah. So embroidery hoop, which is just basically a little wooden hoop.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I know from the picture because I know nothing about the subject. I know nothing about quilting or embroidery, but I'm just going by the pretty pictures.
Okay.
So, so just a wooden hoop that you just basically, you're going to have to cut the shirt, though, unfortunately.
Right,
and
right,
if you're
right.
doing the canvas thing, you're going to have to staple the back of the shirt.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're never going to wear the shirt again. But like I said, if you have shirts that don't fit mm-hmm. or maybe somehow you got a stain on the back of the shirt, I don't know how you would do that, but just saying.
Or like the sleeve or something, maybe? Yeah.
But the embroidery hoop, at least you get a nice circular kind of pattern. And same thing, just throw a thumbtack on the wall and put it on there.
Right. So and they do have different sizes of embroidery hoops too, so if there's like a small logo that you want to, you know, use on the shirt, or large logo mm-hmm. just by the right side right size.
And that's two very inexpensive things that you could do mm-hmm. with old running shirts. The other thing you could do with old running shirts is just donate them, so just want to mention one too.
You could also use them to clean.
Well, it's funny because like you ended up from this quilt, she actually gave you back a bunch of
like
pieces.
Shirt scraps kind of
like some of the shirts. She might have used the front, but give you the back.
Yeah.
Back.
Yeah.
And what do you do with it? A rag. Right. But it's kind of funny seeing the cut up pieces. So.
Yeah.
So there's a couple ideas of what to do with old shirts, mm-hmm. actually. I actually like the idea of, like the look of the embroidery hoop thing. And mm-hmm. it'd be kind of cool to just easily make one of those like every 3-4 months and just throw a new one on the wall. Just like leave a hook somewhere and just replace it every 4 months or so.
Right. But then what do you do with the old one? Just throw it out?
Well, yeah. I mean, unless you're going to save it.
Yeah,
but, I don't. You know, now it's like a cut-up shirt that's on an embroidery hoop.
Right.
So I guess you're basically saying you're going to throw it out when you're done with it on the wall. But if it's a shirt you're never going to wear, you know, that's not such a bad idea. Like I said, unless you're going to donate it, which is probably the best idea.
Right. If you're going to donate it, then don't cut it up. Just donate the whole shirt.
That's correct. All right, let's jump into some feedback.
Incoming message.
So we heard from Sam, who actually mention of the comment that, you know, at CIM, we've dealt with super rain and a lot of cold, maybe next year snow.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, I doubt
it. Not going to happen, but that'd be cool.
And
maybe we'll have a heat wave in December.
And like I said, if I'm not going to be there, it's going to be glorious, beautiful.
Yeah.
60 degree rain.
Well, I think
weather.
Regardless, it's going to be like perfect weather next year.
Yeah. I think we heard from Erin, who I think was asking what we consider cold weather. I think she's kind of making fun of us because it was 6 degrees there in Illinois, which would be freezing.
Right.
Which we honestly admit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Want to congratulate Brian, who actually got into the Sonoma 50. Actually had a little problem with Reg, but got it worked out. So
he snuck in there within those, 36 minutes and 59 seconds.
Got it just in time.
Yeah.
So, congrats and good luck in that. Heard from Dave, who ran the Walnut Creek Half Marathon, which is kind of here local to us and kind of a race that we've thought about doing for the last, I was going to say 2 years, because I think it's only been around 2 years. Right?
I think so.
Two or three.
Yeah.
And actually shot us a picture of the medal, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So congrats on that race. You heard from Meg about your foot.
Yeah, who I mentioned a little bit earlier. So thankfully she reached out and sent me some tips on some stretches that worked for her when she had peroneal tendonitis. So I've been using those, and I really appreciate that because I think it definitely is helping. And then also heard from I also heard from Melissa, who recommended maybe using a foam roller on my calves and my tibialis anterior. So basically the front part of kind of like the shin area.
Mm-hmm.
So I've never used a foam roller on that. Just I tend not to use a foam roller for, I don't really have a good reason, but I have used the stick on those areas. So yeah,
well, I do have a foam roller, so you can borrow mine.
I know. It's just weird. Like you use a foam roller, I use a stick, and it's like, I mean, I know you can use them for different things, but it's just funny that we never really cross over. Like you don't really use a stick and I don't really use a foam roller. So yeah. I don't know.
We also heard from Hannah, who's looking forward to the Wings for Life run. And you will have a better start time at 11 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't actually registered for that yet, although
no,
I think
we
will.
Yeah, we should.
I think we're...
Maybe we'll report that next week.
I like to throw percentages on everything, so I think 80% sure that we're going to do that race.
Okay.
Although, like we mentioned before, that's 3 a.m., and that's in Southern California. So, but that should be fun. Beth signed up for the Cherry Blossom 10-miler.
Or she actually got into it because it's a lottery.
That's right. And that's actually a very big race on the East Coast.
Right.
Which... I wouldn't mind doing someday. It's just tough to travel that far for something that's not a half or a full.
Yeah, I think if I was on the East Coast, I definitely would say
absolutely,
or at least throw my name in the hat.
Yeah, because we've always only heard good things about the race. Mm-hmm. So, we heard from Robert and or Julie. Not sure because of Twitter name on the account.
Yeah.
actually shot us a picture of 7-degree weather in Michigan.
Yeah.
So not as bad as Illinois
the
there, which was 6-degree, but shot us a picture from his or her run.
Mm-hmm.
Which was covered in snow, but
actually
which really
looked beautiful to look at in a picture.
Yeah. That's us from California. We look at snowy pictures and go, oh, how beautiful. How beautiful. But we never have to shovel it or anything like that or drive through it to get to work. Right. Heard from Dale, who kind of agreed with you on your thought about kind of the runner's high and the euphoria.
Oh, yeah. And we were talking last episode about that. So he pretty much said when I was describing it as kind of like everything is right with the world. He pretty much said he just kind of describes it the same way. He was thinking the same thing when he was listening to the episode just right before I said it. So some validation there for my description of runner's high. So have you given it any more thought about?
Well, I actually did.
Okay.
And it's kind of, you know, one of the weird things, I think the closest I come to that is I actually tend to feel more like that early in the race, which that might make no sense. But I was thinking like at CIM, at mile 3, I was just like, really excited and in a really great place just to be out there running the marathon with all these people.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that sounds at all familiar, but...
To me, that's totally different.
Different.
To me, that's more like...
Fail on me.
For me, that's more like just like race excitement and adrenaline and that sort of thing.
But this was like mile 3. It's
I know,
like
still.
One.
No, still. Okay, but do you get that same feeling just on a training run, either on the run or after?
On a training run?
Yeah. No. Okay. I still get runner's high on a training run.
Hmm.
I mean, I'm not talking about like every single run,
right.
You know, but like it still happens whether it's race or not.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I'll pay more attention.
Okay.
In the future, I guess.
I mean, you don't have to.
No,
just,
I know.
This
true.
Is just,
like I said, it's never been.
We're
a
just
thing
having
me,
a conversation here.
That, I think that's the closest I've come is like how I felt like mile 3 at CIM, and I felt like that at certain races just early on. Just I don't want to say excitement, just like a great feeling about just being out there doing the race and with all these people and.
You know what though? Maybe that's how you experience runner's high, and it's not how I experience it.
And I know for CIM, I actually noticed at that time. I think I was kind of running near some people who were blind runners, and I just felt very inspired by them being out there and doing that. That's kind of where I came from on that one.
Yeah,
so.
No, maybe that's what you were feeling. It's just a different experience.
Yeah. We also heard from several people about just congratulating us on our 100th episode. So thank you to all of you for that.
Mm-hmm.
Some of you, not everybody. I'm sure I'm missing so many names. Dave, Alan, Sam, Melissa, Eric, Bradley, Nick, Dan, Travis, Dale, and then Rob called and left us a voicemail. So thank you to all you guys and to those who I forgot to mention.
Right. We still appreciate.
We still appreciate it.
Yeah.
Just hard listing all the names, actually, sometimes.
Right.
So, that's the feedback. What are we going to wish? Dave, good luck at Brazen New Year's Eve. I think he's going to be out there for that.
Racing again, huh?
Racing again, and I guess maybe you'll throw a cup of water at him.
Okay, I'll throw it at him.
So that's my fault if she doesn't.
Right. So don't get mad at me, Dave, if you just feel like a cup of water just hits you like, you know, on the side of your face or something. So I was just trying to hydrate you.
That's right. Could be a hot day.
Yeah.
Actually, hopefully the weather. Here in Northern California, it's been, we kind of ended our, whatever you want to call it, cold streak by our standards.
Right. Which
now
I'm
we're
sure
just,
a lot of you guys are just laughing at that. But
and now the weather the last 2 weeks, actually since CIM,
it's
has been almost
really
like,
nice.
Just really nice. Not super cold, not windy. Just,
nope.
You know,
just nice.
Not hot, just kind of
a little,
nice.
A little, yeah, and actually not cold, sunny, not hot by any means, but
So it's actually kind of a bummer.
It's been very comfortable.
We haven't really taken advantage of it because we haven't been running much. So hopefully we'll have to get back
out
there.
Hopefully this coming week.
Yeah. So that's going to kind of wrap it up. We'll be back. We still have one more episode for this year. So we'll be back next week. We're not taking a week off because of the holidays or anything like that. I think we're going to kind of wrap up our year next week.
I think that's the plan. Yeah.
Yeah. So anything else?
Nope. That's it.
All right. That's going to do it for us. Definitely have a good Christmas or good holiday. Happy New Year. If you don't hear from us before then.
Right. And if you have some extra time, head over to our page and do our listener survey.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. We're out of here.
The website for the podcast is embracerunning.com. You could find us on Facebook at facebook.com/embracerunning. Send us any comments, questions, or feedback at feedback@embracerunning.com or leave us a voicemail at 925-400-7223. If you enjoy the show, give us a review on iTunes. So until next time, embrace running.